Fuzzy TV.
Yes, I am starting to feel better, thank God. And thank you very much for your love and well wishes. As I think I told you Friday, I called that doctor, the butcher of Biscayne, and I insisted on another antibiotic because clindamycin wasn't working. My bacteria were laughing at it, calling it names. And so I was prescribed azithromycin. And so far, look, there's just a glow coming off of it. It's magical. It's starting to work. So, but this stuff is so slow. It always shocks me and really it's kind of troubling how slowly the body recovers from any sort of trauma, any sort of injury, even a cut on your finger. It's just so humiliating every day. As you know, I'm not giving you any new information here. I am Martin Zender. Even in my lowered state of being, I'm still the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. Some things never change. I thank you for being here. And on Friday, because I was not in my greatest state of being, I don't really think I did well enough at making my point. After I was done, I knew I was missing something, and I couldn't figure it out. I just knew that there was something extra that I always put in my shows. I can think of only one show where I feel like I kind of mailed it in, that I wasn't really sure what I was talking about, and I didn't have the fire. I'm not even going to tell you what show that was. Just one show out of 22,700 shows. Friday's show was close because there was just something that was missing. I couldn't figure it out. And it was bothering me so badly that when I was editing it, I recorded it Thursday night. I was editing it on Friday. I was thinking of just not putting out a show. I'm not going to do this. This show's not going to make the point or have the fire that I require of every show. Every show I require some unforgettable point, or I require some passion or something that you've never heard before. Maybe not something you've never heard before, but I need to say it in a way in which you've never heard it. And I just felt like that was lacking. I figured out what it was, but as I was editing, I said, well, okay, this is pretty good. It's better than I thought. I put it out. And I'm going to tell you today what that thing is. I've thought about it all weekend. As you know, I talked about that Greek statue I saw at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. 2,000 years old. It stood in Corinth in the first century. The Apostle Paul, without a doubt, saw this statue, walked past it. It was probably along the street or in the square. They were famous for statuary back then. And I told you that what amazed me about this was that the human form had not changed. I mean, you still got the point. Because I have, and this is what I consoled myself after that video, I have the smartest audience on YouTube. And that is true. And I said, they're going to get it. Even if I don't connect the dots perfectly, or drive that last nail in, they're going to get it. And you did. You definitely got it. Your comments were great. I said, what am I worried about? These people are sharp as can be. Smartest audience on YouTube. Scripture-wise, you guys are the best. You make my job easy. But I don't like my job being easy. My job's not easy. And if it ever feels easy, I'm doing something wrong. But I made the point that this Adamic form that I was looking at in front of me, it was 2,000 years old. I looked down at the feet specifically, and they looked just like mine. It was a shock. Kind of like I felt when I saw my first chest x-ray. I'll never forget that. The doctor put this chest, it was just a standard issue chest x-ray, put it all up on the screen, and I just saw my rib cage, and I thought, shit, man, I'm human. Really humiliating. It was alarming. I thought I was better than that. No, wasn't better than that. I'm not better than that. And so looking at this foot of this Greek statue that Paul saw, I thought, man, No one has escaped the Adamic form. There have been deformations and different genetic accidents that have happened. People have been deformed and all this, but you know the point. The human body is the same body that Adam had. And of course, the point I was making, I was drawing the analogy with 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam, all are dying. And I was emphasizing the surety of that, as in Adam, all are dying. As in Adam, everybody looks the same. As in Adam, most people have five toes on each foot. We have two legs, two arms, a head, an ass, belly button. Adam didn't have a belly button, though. Well, their first kid would have had a belly button, Cain. But there's no way that Adam would have had a belly button. He didn't grow in his mother's womb, so he wasn't nourished through that little cord attached to his mommy's fast food outlet. No, he wasn't. No, he didn't. But their first son, Adam and Eve's first son, was conceived the way all we are. So the belly button came in vogue at that time. I don't think there was ever a time where they left that thing hanging there. You know, with that bag of, what do you call that? The bag from which the child has been eating. The platypus? No, it starts with a P though. Placenta, okay. Boy, that'd be alarming if a platypus came out. You just pull that cord out and the platypus is going to be. No, but we all have this common experience and no one can escape it. And my point was, no one can escape the second half of 1 Corinthians 15:22 either. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. This is the nail I wanted to drive shut. It's that God will... Do you drive a nail shut? No, I want to drive something shut with the nail. Anyway, still not 100%, folks, so bear with me. God will not be mocked. People say they don't need God. Humanity in general, the worldly people in the world, they can do quite well without God. God does not make himself evident in the world today. He's invisible, of course. We see his attributes in the creation. And, of course, we see his wisdom when you watch this show. But for the most, these things are spiritually discerned. For the most of humanity, they can't even look at the sun, really, and see a great God. They see everything as happening as a result of a big bang. But God will not be mocked. He will not be denied. And no matter how many ways the human race tries to escape God, tries to do things without God, there was a mold set in the Garden of Eden, and it was Adam and his progeny. Down the line, we all have the same attributes. We all look the same. And for all the great technology of the world, no one has been able to overcome death. No one has discovered the fountain of youth. No one has been able to create life. No one. And so God will not be mocked. And in that statue, I saw the persistence of the human form and the persistence of mortality. And it just keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. And then I look at the second half of 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam, all are dying. Thus also. The thus also is a perfect parallel. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. And it's the offhanded way in which God makes that statement through Paul. It's the perfect ease. It's the transition that is seamless. As in Adam, all are dying. I mean, that's hard to keep this race going for 6,000 years. The genetic blueprint was set. The pattern was set. And everybody has come out of the same mold again and 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 again. For all the vast changes that humanity tries to bring to the world. Sorry, again and again and again and again and again. And again, what, a human mother does not give birth to a Martian or a platypus or a giraffe. And even allowing for genetic mutations, which are based upon the blueprint, they're just one-offs from the blueprint. They're all based on it. Like I said, there's something inherent in there that allows for that, allows that to happen. No one can escape it. And God keeps doing it every day, every day, every day. Thus also in Christ shall all the same all who are dying in Adam shall all be vivified. In the Greek, Zoe, the word for life. This is life beyond the reach of death, otherwise known as immortality. And this seems like an easier thing, like as an animal or dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified is the easier thing. But Christ set down a blueprint at Calvary. The difference between his blueprint and Adam's blueprint is that Christ's blueprint was not genetic, it was spiritual. Adam's blueprint was genetic. Christ's was spiritual. But because God said so, that blueprint then becomes the default formatting for the new humanity. And Christ is the divine stamp, the divine pattern that will be overlaid upon every single human being that ever came into Adam. It doesn't sound so easy now, does it? Well, we know the cross was not easy. It was horrific. What made it worse was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, of course, and he was innocent. And what makes it even worse is that he came to save the people who killed him. They rejected their own, but the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the stone in a building that you lay down first, and it's got to be right. It's got to be perfect. People come out there. People make a living just laying foundations for buildings. After they lay the foundations, they're gone. These are the technicians, these guys, because if they're wrong, if they're off, everything's off. The stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone. He became the blueprint, the pattern, and everyone after him. No, that's not the right way to say it. It's not everyone after him. It's every single human being touched by him, which is every single one. And we know that because of the perfect parallel Paul is drawing here between Adam and Christ. As in Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Oh, but it's future, Martin. It's future. Do you have any doubt that tomorrow a woman's going to give birth? Do you think for a second, I should say, that tomorrow a woman's going to give birth to a giraffe? Or that a platypus is going to come out instead of a placenta? That's the future. We know the future is certain. The Adamic race. I mean, that statue is 2,000 years old. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. So the future in Christ is just as sure, it's just as on the schedule as every single birth, every single person that's ever been born, every single human being that's ever been born. Now, this is hard to do, but I'm going to challenge you to do this. I want you to look at every single person today, the saddest sack out there. I want you to look at them and realize that they won the lottery. I mean, we won the super lottery. We're in the body of Christ. Forget about that for now. That's insane, okay? But I want you to think that every single human being is blessed because having come out of the mold of Adam, they will be in the future made into the mold of Christ, that is, touched by immortality, being alive beyond the reach of death. They were created to enjoy fellowship with their creator for eternity. But in order to do that, in order to appreciate it, they have to go through this entire process of experiencing evil. Some do it for a short time, some do it for a long time. All do it. None of us asked to come in here. I made a video, I think it's MZTV 89 or 189. Phil Mule loves it. A lot of people love it. It's called Condemned and Redeemed Without Our Consent. Condemned and Redeemed Without Our Consent. That's a good one. I'm going to link it down here. It's this thing comparing Adam to Christ without our consent. No one consented to being born into this fashion of a human. Jesus Christ himself came to be in fashion as a human. Philippians chapter 2, chapter 3, we talked about that. Came to be in fashion. No one escapes it. No one volunteered for it. That's the point. Now, no one volunteered for it. No one volunteers for Christ. Don't be tricked into the Christian dodge of this. They twist 1 Corinthians 15:22. They says, as in Adam, all are dying. Thus, all in Christ shall be made alive. All in Christ instead of in Christ all. They switch it around. You can't do that. That's illicit. It doesn't say all in Adam die. It says the scripture says in Adam all die. Adam is the channel through which death comes to humanity by design, so that we can all experience the contrast of death and life. Adam's a channel. As in Adam, all are dying. Adam's a channel. All humanity comes through him. Thus also in Christ shall all, the same all, it's a perfect parallel, be vivified. That is made alive beyond the reach of death. If you want more information on that, you have to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, and you find that Jesus Christ has given himself a correspondent ransom for all, but the testimony in its own ears. That is, we will see the fruition of what Christ has done in future ages. It is in the eons to come, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, that we will see the full riches of his grace. People think now is the only time to believe. If you don't believe before you die in this life, you'll never be saved. That is just not true. It's stupid. If you continue in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 says, yet every man or woman in his own order. The concordance says, in his own class. As an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. There are classifications. Did you know this? Yes. Classifications of saved people. Christ was the first fruit. When he returns for us at the snatching away, we're the second fruit. Israel is a 2.5 fruit, really, because they are changed later when he returns to earth. Those are two different comings. And then you have the consummation, Paul says. What happens at the consummation? That's when death is abolished, 1 Corinthians 15:26. What's going to be the result of that? That sounds fantastic. Yeah, well, yeah, it is. The result is God will be all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. But that's not the book of Revelation. People think that because the book of Revelation is the last one in the scriptures, chronologically, that it's the last thing God had to say to us. No, no. 1 Corinthians 15 is the farthest look we get into the future. Paul goes beyond the new heavens, beyond the new earth. As great as John was, as lovely as his letter is, he doesn't go beyond the third earth. He doesn't go beyond Eon 5. Paul goes beyond Eon 5. To the end of the Aeonian times themselves, to a time called the consummation. And the greatest thing that happens then is that death is abolished. Anyone in the second death? Oh, people. Martin, you can't say those people are in the second death. You can't tell me they're going to be saved. I say, yeah, a lot of people in the second death. Well, Martin, what are you going to do about them? I always ask these people, well, what happens to them after the second death? They are not prepared for that question, let me tell you. What happens after the second death? What? I said, death is abolished. These people, God has to become all in all. Don't you know 1 Corinthians 15:28? Duh. And so those people come out. But this is so sure to happen. It's as sure as people being born every day. It's as sure as the human body not changing in 6,000 years. And you might say that this constant army of human beings coming forth over the 6,000 years, being born, dying, being born, dying, being born, dying. Boy, that sounds quite redundant, quite difficult, quite messy. Well, the second half of this verse is just as difficult, more difficult, because as in Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. That happened at the cross, which was the most difficult thing that ever happened in the Aeonian time. So this thing we're talking about and that we love to talk about is based on a terrible, terrible event for Christ that yet was done out of love for his Father, out of love for his creation, out of obedience for his Father who loves all humanity and wills all humanity to be saved. And, oh yeah, if God wills all humanity to be saved, I believe that that's exactly what will happen. In 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity. I love it when a plan comes together.